At least 8 in every 10 people who arrive here seeking asylum have come through Northern Ireland, according to the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee. Appearing before the Oireachtas Justice Committee last evening, the minister claimed that more than 80% of international protection applicants now cross the land border, which she described as absolutely a challenge. Ms. McEntee defended the government's decision to opt in to the new European Union Migration Pact, designed to set EU-wide standards for refugee status and speed up decision-making on asylum applications. The minister joins us now from our Dáil studio. Very good afternoon to you, Minister, and thanks for talking to us on the programme. So this figure of 80%, in fact, I think you told the committee it could be higher, of people arriving here seeking refugee status coming in through Northern Ireland. Is that a well-established pattern, or is it something that's emerged recently?
So this is a pattern, I suppose, that has changed over time. And that's something I think that people need to realise and understand, that migratory patterns and flows, people, the countries they come from and how they come, that changes over time. And we need to have a system that's flexible, that can respond, but that is coherent with the rest of Europe. And to your original statement, the issue of migration and asylum, this is not something that we can deal with on our own. This is not something that we should try to deal with on our own. We are at the moment, and we have been for the past 8 years, working with our European colleagues to essentially update the asylum and migration system.
My question was, is this phenomenon, these large numbers crossing from Northern Ireland, is that something that's occurred fairly recently? I'm wondering, for example, is it maybe a result of the UK's Rwanda policy?
It's something that has changed over time. I think in particular since last year, you will know that we have implemented and I've made a number of changes to our overall system. So we have faster processing for people coming from particular countries. We've had a significant increase in the number of checks at our ports and airports. Mm-hmm. We now have work underway with airlines. So when you start to implement various different measures, you start to see changes in patterns and where people are coming from. So the number of people coming through our airports without documents has decreased significantly. The number of people coming from other countries through our airports have decreased significantly because of those changes. Mm-hmm. What we're now seeing is that the numbers are coming in a higher level through Northern Ireland. And there are a number of elements to that, I think. In particular, if I could just say, there was a decision taken recently by the High Court around particular readmissions, so in returning people to the UK. That in itself may have had an impact, in particular in the last few months, but that is something that I will be addressing in the matter of weeks by changing our laws. So we have to be responding and reactive as these flows change.
And on that, and you've mentioned it already, we're proposing to sign up to this EU-wide migration pact, but it's a deal which is not going to cover those who are coming in through Northern Ireland, is it?
So I suppose it covers things in a variation of ways. We have separate agreements with the UK. The UK are no longer in the EU, but because of our common travel area, because of the open border that we have separate agreements that mirror much of what we are doing in the pact and will mirror much of what will be done in the pact. That's in relation to returns. That's in relation to, I suppose, the communications that we have, the processing times that we have, and our ability to look at certain countries and respond in different ways. So we will have those agreements with the UK. But you also have a situation where you might have someone who has come through the EU. They have already gotten status. They go to the UK and then they arrive with us. So obviously that has implications in terms of the pact and our ability to return people to the EU.
Minister, there have been just under 7,300 people refused refugee status here since the beginning of last year, the beginning of 2023. How many of those have been deported?
So it is quite a small number of people have been physically removed. And I think it's important to stress that that's not where we actually want to be.
What is the number?
The number I'd say physically removed is less than 100. But what we need to stress is that it is not where we want to be in terms of physically removing people. Not only does that take much longer, not only is it much more costly, not only is it much more challenging, but it is less effective.
Out of 7,300, 100 have been deported. Where are the other 7,200?
So if you look at the system overall, if those approvals are just or negative decisions, which if I could say are a higher proportion than you would see across Europe, you have various different stages that then people can appeal. So this is one of the really important elements of the pact. So we have really improved our timeframes over the last number of years. You could have had people in the system for 6 or 7 or 8 years. We're now down to probably at a maximum around 2 years for many of the ordinary decisions. For those who are in accelerated procedures, their first decisions are within about 60 days, but we still have elongated appeals processes.
So many
if somebody
is
given a negative decision, they go through various different appeals,
so
which do take time.
So how many of those 7,200 are in an appeal process?
So you might have quite a high number of those in appeals. For those in accelerated processes, so for example, since we introduced it for the 10 countries last year, the safe countries, about 80% are given negative decisions. Those appeals then, on the appeals, about 80% are upheld. And what we're going to start to see now is, particularly with the faster processing, is that it will be much easier to remove people, but also they'll be removed much more quickly.
Well,
so you have to remember that we are completely overhauling the system that has for years taken years to actually even get to a deportation. Right.
People,
trying to shorten that
people
time.
Who are refused refugee status can appeal that decision to you, can't they? Isn't that correct? And you were asked by Michael McNamara in the committee yesterday how many of those appeals to you as minister are outstanding. Now, you didn't have an answer yesterday. Do you have an answer today?
So I don't have any appeals before me. I've not signed off on any appeals or refused or rejected any in the last year, at least. I know that we have a lengthy process, and this is why the pact is so important here. This is why it's important for people to understand what we would be bound by are changes that would reduce the time frame. So at the moment, we have our first appeal. We have people's ability to appeal beyond that, and it elongates the process.
Yeah.
So the figure that you gave me for last year.
This measure, if I just focus on the provision that someone can appeal to you, and I'm quoting from your own documents provided by the department here, you cannot appeal a deportation order to IPAT. It says you can make a request to the Minister for Justice for a deportation order to be revoked. Now, how many such requests have been made to you since the beginning of last year?
I've not signed off on any of any requests since the beginning of last year.
No, I didn't say signed off on. How many requests have been made to you? Maybe their decision is pending. How many are outstanding? That was the question from Michael McNamara.
So I can't give you that figure, but if they haven't come before me, then I don't have a figure to be able to give you. They haven't come before me, therefore they haven't, like that, in terms of the overall number, I haven't signed off on any in the last year. So that shows you there's very few that are coming anywhere near me if I haven't signed off on any in the last year. What I'm trying to say, though, is that our overall system, we can focus on deportation orders, which actually has minimal impact. And I have to be clear, and that's not just Ireland, it's right across the EU. The most important thing is that we give people a negative decision straight away. Nobody wants a deportation order because not only does it follow them here when they're in this country, but if they go to any other European country. So what you want is a person getting a negative decision early on, that they're given the option to remove themselves. And if they don't, then they are forcibly removed. But it is much quicker. It is easier. It is a much better process where people are returned, supported to return where they're coming from, instead of a physical deportation order.
The existing system, the Dublin system, I think it's called, allows for asylum applicants to be transferred by agreement to another EU country. Now, Ireland has transferred, we learned yesterday, 3 people last year, 2 in 2022. Why so few?
Well, firstly, it's a system that isn't working and isn't effective. And there's 2 elements to it. Firstly, the 188 figure is only half of what we had actually requested. So countries are able to. So if we, for example, request Spain to take back somebody and they decide not to, it's very difficult for us to appeal that or to change it. You also have other countries who simply stopped taking people back. Right. So the 188 figure is only half. Then within that, you have
but there were 188 agreements to transfer, were there not, with other countries?
There are, but within that then, so an agreement doesn't mean that somebody's automatically removed. There are appeals, there are various different stages in between that approval and then us actually being able to remove them. And what I'm saying and what I've said very clearly is that it doesn't work and our system doesn't work. So by joining the pact, not only will we have a faster turnaround time and an ability to be able to deal with all of what we need to deal with before we can actually remove somebody, more of the onus will be placed on the country to do that work when we ask them to take them back and when we tell them. So that is the difference here. The onus is placed on the other country as opposed to now where the onus is placed on us and where we have been in a very short space of time gone from dealing with 3,000 cases to 13,000 cases in 1 year. So we are ramping up our system, but we need to keep ramping it up.
Okay, before I let you go, the question of the policing of protests that's arisen following the demonstration at Roderick O'Gorman's home last week. Now, the Taoiseach was saying earlier this week that he wants to know if existing laws are robust enough enough. And if they are, then he needs to know if Gardaí are empowered enough to enforce them. He wants, if I can quote him, "I want clarity on a very simple question. Is this a matter of enforcement or a matter of law? Which is it?"
Well, look, I've spoken to the Garda Commissioner quite a number of times since last week. I'm meeting him again today. We have very clear laws that are there. We have public order laws. We have offences against the person laws. We have road traffic laws. There are many laws that are available to police these protests. And we need to make it very clear. The Commissioner last week in his direction to his teams have made it clear that these laws need to be used. And I am very clear that we cannot have, whether you're a public representative or not, we cannot have anybody intimidated in their home, at their place of work, or some of the protests.
The question is the law,
we need to make
the
sure
law
that the
adequate to the task?
It.
Do the Gardaí have the powers they need?
I have asked this question. I have made it very clear that if they need to change, then I need to be informed of that. I have not been informed that we need any new additional laws. I do think, however, that we need to explore the potential for preventing people from being able to protest outside another person's home. So that is one area that I think we do need to develop further. But in terms of public order, in terms of offence against the person, in terms of road traffic incidents or laws, they are there, they are very clear, and I think they need to be implemented.
Just there we leave it. Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, thanks for talking to us on the programme.